All right. see y'all here this morning. See you here. Isn't it good to go to church and fellowship together? Look around you. All the believers are here. You're going to have a good time to fellowship, at least for a couple hours. Then you go back out into the world. Meantime, here we are. And who is it that brings us together here this morning? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together. I don't know anything else. Is that working out? That's fine. See if it turns to green or not. Don't worry about it. I'll just say this. All right. Well, Brother Matt Renzi has come up here to help me today. I don't know if you all know or not, but I ended up in the hospital again. All right. Wednesday night after church, I just had a stomach bowel obstruction here like you wouldn't believe. And 10, 11 o'clock, I was in pain like you couldn't believe. And I said, let's go. So we went to the emergency room there, and they figured it out pretty quickly that it was another bowel obstruction. And so down the nose with the thing into the stomach, and for the next 2 days, pumping out that thing. But as soon as they did, I had relief, and it seems to be okay now. I feel pretty good today. And the doctor said that I've got to be careful what I eat, so it's going to have to be soft foods. He said mashed potatoes and gravy. So a good thing I like mashed potatoes and gravy. So the first meal that I could eat was scrambled eggs, mashed potatoes, and gravy. It tasted good, to the glory. It was all right. I don't know. There's a few things I'm on that. I'm on a opiate, or what is that called? Starts with an S. Narcotic. The pill I take is a steroid. And they say that can do it, and also possibly a tumor may be pressing up against some place in there and causing a problem. So that, and maybe just I should have been more careful maybe what I was eating. I don't know, so I'm going to have to be more careful what I'm eating. So that's it. I came home yesterday. I was a little bit weak yesterday, and I said, Brother Matt, can you come on? We'll do Sunday school tonight. I do want to do dispensations for the morning service, so we'll see how it works. All right. Hey, we got the year-end banquet coming up, December 30th, Friday evening at 7 o'clock. We want to do a creation theme. Crown, would you just grab one of those white boards there and just pull it up in the air? I want some of these boards. What I'd like to do is, I need volunteers, all right? Take one of these home, and you need to tell me what day you'd like to do of creation week, all right? So we'll put on the top there, say this would be the first day of creation week. You would put first day, all right? Second day, third day, whichever one you want to do. And of course, on the first day, what was it? Light and darkness, right? So the second day, what was it on the second day? The second day, you need water and the land, right?
Separate the water.
So what I'd like you to do then is, like, on the rest of this, like right in here, either draw a picture of the earth, black and white, or whatever you want to do. Get some pictures on the internet. I know that there is a site called Answers in Genesis, all right? And they do allow you to download pictures and print and things like that. So if you want to look there for ideas, that's good. But I need volunteers, all right? But you need to tell me what day. I don't want to have everybody with the fourth day here. Okay. So I've got seven of them for the 7 days of the week. If you'd like to do it, or get the kids to do some coloring on it or whatever, it don't matter to me, as long as it's saying what took place on that day. All right, thanks, Ralph, on that one there. And so the creation theme is what we're going to do. Potluck dinner, so bring some food with you. I know you guys will do a little bit of that. We're going to play some games, singing fellowship. We're going to have a creation theme there for the night. All right, I think that's it. I will say there's a possibility my mom and dad and my sister Beth might be coming in again this evening for that week. Looking forward to having them here if that works out. So we'll see what the Lord does there. All right, I think that's about it. Okay.
Okay. I won't take but a minute to talk about this, but I received a call on Thursday, or Friday rather, excuse me, yeah, it was Friday. I have a second interview on Monday. I started out with HR, and now I'm moved up to the next level where I'm actually talking to the people I might be working for, so pray about that. It's scheduled for tomorrow morning, and we'll see what the Lord does with that. So, anyway, let's move on. We're going to be using our hymn books now for the last couple of talks. 724. We'll sing a couple of the choruses in our hymn book. 724. For God so loved the world.
Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all, to be testified in due time.
Amen. Kathy, go ahead.
1 Timothy 2, 5, and 6. For there is one...
God.
For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Okay, Mark.
1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Okay. Anyone else? Gene, go ahead.
1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Very good. Okay. Jim.
1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Okay. Very good. Let's say it together. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. All right, let's turn now a couple books over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I learned this passage when I was real young, and actually when I learned it, I learned verses 11 through 14, but we're going to stick with just verse 13 for our memory verse for this week. And of course, verse 13 is the focal point of that passage anyway, so that's good. Here's what God's Word says: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice it says that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
And by the way, Pastor, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that the modern versions mess with that verse somehow.
I don't have any indication of that.
No? Okay. A lot of other places, though, they try to take out the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is deity.
Yes.
So, in this place, it's very plain that Jesus Christ is God.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's say it together. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay. Brother Renzi.
If you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn to Psalms chapter number 119? Psalm 119, please. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm glad that I was able to come up this morning. And right after you called me, somebody called me for next week. Yep. So, in fact, I'm going to be preaching for our brother over here. His brother Woody goes to the church. I'm going to be preaching. Well, they call him Woody. And my brother-in-law is the pastor in South Philadelphia. And so, Lord willing, next week I'll be preaching there. But I want to do this morning is we have been working on here. When I've been preaching, we've been working on our responsibilities concerning the Word of God. And I wasn't able to finish up, obviously, so I want to pick up where we left off this morning. Just to take a moment to reiterate some things, we had already focused on, number one, that we are responsible to study God's Word. Amen. In fact, the key verse we looked at was 2 Timothy 2:15, and that's study to show yourself approved unto God. And I like that thought. Our studying is to be approved by God, not to be approved by others. Amen. And so study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know that's the verse in which the preacher, when I was preaching that time, got excited because he's teaching on the dispensationalism, which is rightly dividing, rightly cutting the word of God. It's very, very important to know who God's speaking to. That's how we get the context of things. Amen. Who is God speaking to and what is he speaking about and so on. And although many things are not written to us, They are written for us, amen? Written for our learning, if you will, and I'm sure that you've heard that. But one of the great responsibilities, and we focused on this, is we need to study the Word of God, amen? And that's the whole point of that is to understand the Word of God, amen? That's, by the way, the most important thing that you and I need is we need to understand what God is saying to us, amen? And by the way, that's what I want to know. I want to know what God has to say. Amen. And thank God for preachers that are in the Word of God, finding out what God said and then passing it on to us and telling us, here's what God said. Too many preachers come between the Word of God and you and I, and they give us what they got to say on it. Just tell me what God said and then tell me what God meant in the context. Amen. And if need be, go ahead and preach it and challenge me with it. Amen. And that's the whole thought. So number one, we really focused on the fact that you and I are responsible, and really the greatest responsibility is laid on the preacher, the leader. Amen. In fact, in 1 Timothy 2 or 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15, that really is to the leader, if you will. Paul saying to Timothy, hey, you're leading and you need to really get in there. Amen. I heard a statement, readers are leaders. Amen. And leaders are readers. But nonetheless, number one, we are responsible to study God's Word. And then last week we started talking about, and I talked about probably most of this, and we need not only to study God's Word, but we need to secure God's Word. If you don't nail it down, somebody's going to steal it. How many people have ever heard that statement before? There are thieves out there. If it's not nailed down. Now, where I live, we have people on drug addictions walking the streets, and they steal whatever they can. Sometimes you go and you pull up at the gas station and you go to fill up your car, maybe the air of your tire, and the knob is missing because it was brass. I mean, that's how bad things are. Sometimes these addicts are so desperate. I mean, I'm around the corner from my house. I'm driving by and we have a city sewage, and the curb, the very front of the curb, is an iron plate and it's halfway off. They are trying to steal whatever they can to take it and scrap it to get drug money. If it's not nailed down most of the time, they're going to steal it. And I'll be honest with you. There was a thief. Jesus said it this way, John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. We know who the thief is. We know when the Word of God is sown on hearts, before they get a hold of it and understand it, immediately the fowl of the air, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, immediately tries to snatch away the Word of God, lest it sinks in. See, if the seed of God's Word sinks in deep enough and far enough, something may come out of it. Amen? And so what the devil does is when the Word of God by the preacher is broadcast. In fact, the term broadcasting comes from the way that they would spread seed in the fields. They would have a pouch over them. They would have a bag of seeds, and they would take the seeds and they would throw it. And that's broadcasting. And the preacher, when he preaches the word, he broadcasts. He's throwing out the seed on the different hearts. And by the way, excuse me, that's why we got to make sure that our hearts are ready to receive. In fact, I think of what it was Luke in the book of Acts, when he mentioned about the Thessalonians driving away Paul in persecution, and they went to Berea. And when they got to Berea, the Bereans were more noble in that they received the word with what? All readiness of mind. Oh, how we need to be ready to receive the word. Too many people roll out of bed, get up and walk into church and sit down with a hard heart. And sometimes by the time the services are over, their heart's just getting ready to receive it. I like to take the hammer to my heart before I get to church. Break it up if you have to. Amen. Or I like to take the fire to my heart if it's cold and warm it up, soften. Didn't the Lord say about make sure you break up the fallow ground? Amen. You and I are responsible to personally and privately prepare our lives and hearts to come with soil that's ready to receive the word of God. Amen. Because if it's too hard, when it lands on top, devil has an easy time plucking it away. Amen. Oh, how we need to secure the word of God. We need to prove all things. That means study it and test it. But when you get a hold of what it's really saying, hold fast. that which is right, that which is good. Amen? Search the scriptures, but when you find the truth, hold on to it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hold on to it. Amen? You have some people, no, I'm not selling this. This is too bad. I'm holding on to this. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, you and I, and last time I preached here, amen, we focused on the fact that we need to do two things in reference to securing it. We need to hide it deep, and we need to hold it fast. Amen? Hide God's word in your heart. Hide it deep and hold it fast. And we looked at many different scriptures that really, really dealt with retaining God's word, laying up God's word, writing upon the table of your heart. Boy, this is getting it in. Why? It's valuable. We don't leave valuables just simply laying around, especially when we're going on vacation or something like that. Amen? You don't do that. You try to hide your valuables at least. Amen? Give them a fighting chance, right? And so we talked about we need to secure, get studying God's word is getting it. Securing God's word is holding on to it. Amen. And we got just so many things that would, but by the way, we got to hold it firm because we know that it can slip away. In fact, in Hebrews chapter number 2, we need to take heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let these things what? Slip away. In fact, if in James 5:19-20, James said, if any brother, if any of you err from the truth, that word err is wander from the truth, let him know that he that converts a brother will hide a multitude of sin and save a life. Amen. I don't think that we're going to have as much hard of a time as this book getting away from us as us getting away from this book. And it's not just bad things that get us away from this book. Good things can. Amen. Martha, Martha, serving Jesus. Has no time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Gets mad at Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. I got a hard time with those who are serving so much that they get mad at people who don't. I mean, mad. In fact, they get so mad they wonder if Jesus don't care. Amen. Don't you care that I'm serving alone? Amen. We got to be very, very careful, don't we? And so we talked about hiding it deep and holding it firm. And here's where we left off in the scriptures. Well, let me say this: why should I be concerned about securing God's word? Why should I be concerned about hiding it deep and holding it firm? And here's the statement I left off with last time I preached. Our lives depend upon it. Our lives depend upon it. Your life and my life depends upon this book right here. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, physical food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Proverbs, where we're encouraged to get a hold of God's word, it says this, because they are life. Amen? You and I, our life, our Christian life, our physical life even, they're health to our flesh. Amen? This book right here is the key to our life. In fact, I closed off last time with this illustration. You'll probably recall, I hope, if you were here. In the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 32 to 41, we talked about where they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. You remember that? And when they found him, they knew he was clearly breaking the law that God had commanded not to do. And Moses had put him in ward. They put him in jail until they found out what God wanted to do. And God said, he's got to die. God, many times, would use situations, severe situations, to set the tone. To really help people to realize, you know, I think of the book of Ecclesiastes, when judgment is swift, many hearts will fear. There's a reason why people ain't afraid to do things nowadays, because you don't really have to pay for it. Death penalty's not a death penalty anymore. You get to live on death row forever. Amen? If judgment would be quick, people would say, whoa, you don't mess around. When you see Ananias and Sapphira getting killed, you say, hold on a minute, whoa. Better not mess with this. Amen? And so what God said was the whole congregation needs to get in on this because they need to have it in their hearts. You don't do these things. It's not worth it. Amen? And so they stoned him with stones. Right after they killed this man for his disobedience, clear disobedience, God said to Moses, I want you to do something. I want you to make fringes. I want you to put fringes, four fringes on the four corners of your garments. I want you to put a ribbon of blue. Blue is a symbol of heaven. I want you to do this because when the children of Israel see that, they'll remember me and my word to do it. And they'll live. Amen. You see, If they did that, they made that border around there and they made those fringes that reminded them of God and His Word. The next person that was tempted to pick up sticks would go like this on the Sabbath and say, hold on a minute. I better not do that. I remember God, I remember His Word, and I remember the guy that died for disobeying. Amen? That's a memo. That's a stick it. Amen? Our life depends upon us securing God's Word. Amen? Let me get, now this morning, for the rest of the time, what I want to do is I want to just give you, if I get through it, four areas of our life. As Christians now, I'm talking about as Christians. Four areas of our life that depend upon you and I securing God's Word, getting it in our heart. Number one, I want you to get this. The purification of our life depends upon our securing God's Word. The purification. So what does that mean? That means the cleanness of our life. The spiritual cleanness of our life will depend upon us securing God's Word. Would you look with me for a moment, please, at Psalm 119? I said we're going to go Psalm 119. Would you look at verse number 11, please? We looked at it already in reference to the fact that we need to hide God's Word. We need to hide it because it's valuable, and we need to, by the way, I believe hiding God's Word in our heart means that we're working on it and chewing on it and thinking about it and meditating until all of a sudden it gets down there and we get a hold of it. Amen. We understand it. We comprehend it. Amen. Now watch this. Why? Because the purification of my life depends upon it. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 11. Notice what it says. Thy word have I hid. That's my responsibility, right? In my heart. Where to hide it? Why? That I might not sin against thee. I promise you I'll not be sinless. But I promise you God's word in my heart can help me to sin less. Amen? If I could only remember the right word at the right time. Did you ever say that? If I could only remember the right word, if I could only be like Jesus in every temptation, I have a verse for it. Every time the devil tempted him with something, he quoted this verse, he quoted this verse, he quoted this. Amen? In Psalm, I want you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 31. I'm sorry, 37, Psalm 37. The purification of our Christian life, of your Christian life, depends upon God's word in your heart. I believe many Christians are not what they ought to be because they don't have the word of God in their heart. Amen? When you know, and you sin, it's worse than when you're ignorant. Though ignorance is no excuse, because the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen? I want you to look at Psalm 37. Oh boy, why am I stopping at 61? That's not going to help. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse number 31. I want you to get this. We need to get it in our heart. We need to get it in our heart. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 31. This is a great verse to really, really get a hold of. Psalm 37, verse number 31. Notice what it says. Ready? The law of his God, that would be the word of God, right? Is in what? His heart. And what's going to happen? None of his steps shall what? Slide. His law in his heart will keep his feet. Amen? To keep your feet means to keep your life on the straight and narrow. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Amen. How can I keep my feet in the right place? My heart's got to be kept first and foremost. Amen. It don't go from the head to the feet. It goes from the head to the heart to the feet. Amen. And this is exactly what many, in fact, one of the great illustrations, last time I was here, I gave a little message or a little outline on Asaph when Brother Jason was talking about Asaph in Psalm 73. He said, my feet were almost gone. Why? Something was going on in his heart. He was looked like everything was going fine with the Lord, but in his heart, man, it was gone. It was looking through the window, lusting at the world, and his heart had almost caused his feet to go, but God in the sanctuary, through the word of God, got a hold of his heart, and when he got a hold of his heart, he got a hold of his feet. His feet stayed put because God got a hold of his heart. Amen. Talk about a hearty meal. That's what we need every service. A hearty meal. Yes. Something that really, by the way, that's what God speaks to. That's what God deals with. You know, I love the psalm that's Psalm, oh, I don't even know what it is, but let me think of it. Psalm 27, maybe verse 8. It says this, Lord, when you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, Lord, your face will I seek. You know what that tells me? That psalmist heard God speak to him in his heart. And when he did, he responded from his heart and said, yes, Lord, I will do that. Amen. Oh, a hearty conversation is what we need in the church meetings. Amen. No doubt about it. I mentioned this before. Sin needs to be stopped where it starts. In Matthew chapter 15, 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornication, that blasphemy. It's out of the heart these things are. It's got to stop where it starts, amen? The battle's got to rage on the inside. And if you and I don't take this book and get it down there where the battling's going on, we're probably going to lose. Right. Jeremiah, don't turn there. Jeremiah 20, verse number 8 and 9. Jeremiah was a prophet called of the Lord to preach the word to a people that didn't want to hear. What a discouraging ministry. And they know that. They're not going to hear you, but preach it. You're not going to have numbers, but preach it. Amen? And Jeremiah was preaching, and he was preaching it, and he was naming the sin. He was telling them, you're violent, and your hands are blood. He was preaching it. And all of a sudden, he got persecuted for his preaching. You know what he said? He said, I quit. Jeremiah the prophet quit. That's what he did. But here's what happened. He goes on and says, but his word. See, it was his word that made the difference. His word was in my heart like a fire shut up, and I could not stay. I couldn't stay in that defeated state because God's word would not let me. That's what we need. Oh, how we need to get his word lodged in our hearts. Amen. Another great example, I think, is Daniel. They took him from his land, God's land. They took him to Babylon, a picture of the world. They changed his name. They tried to change his diet, but they couldn't change his heart. Daniel purposed, determined, in his heart, not to defile himself, not to go against the law of God that he had learned. Why did Daniel purpose in his heart? I think it was because he had God's word in his heart. That's where the battles are going on. And it's from there the decisions are made. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep the word of God in there is the essence of why. For out of it are the issues of life. We're going to decide and we're going to determine what we're going to do from our hearts. And if our hearts ain't right, we're probably going to make the wrong choices. Amen? Oh, how important it is. Why am I getting worked up so early? It's too early for this. Amen. The purification of our lives. Jesus said in John 5:15-3, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:25-26, husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might wash and cleanse it with the water of the word. In the Bible, when water refers to cleansing, it refers to the word of God that sanctifies us. When it talks about water and the Holy Spirit, it talks about satisfaction. That's what water we drink, amen? But the fact of the matter is, number one, the purification of our life depends upon our securing God's word. Let me give it a second thought. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119 again. That's a big, by the way, great chapter on the word of God, amen? I did a study one time on it. Determine just a few things. It tells us what God's word is in Psalm 119, and it tells us what God's word does, and it tells us our responsibility toward God's word. That's it. Here's what it is, here's what it does, here's what you should do. Amen. I want you to look at Psalm 119, look at verse number 105. Pardon me for a moment, I got to get my sweat. I call it the glory rag. Amen. I might start the glory ministries or something like that. Amen. I won't put the sweaty side on there, okay? Psalm 119. Would you look with me for a moment in verse number 105? Let me just give you the second thought. Here's why I need to get a hold of God's word. It's going to be my deliverance. Amen. My purification. But not only is the purification of my life depend upon God's word or me securing God's word, but let me give you the second thought. The direction of our life depends upon our securing of God's word. God's word is the key for me going in the right direction. Amen. Watch this. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 105. Psalm 119, verse number 105. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will help me to know where I am. That's a light unto my feet. Sometimes my feet ain't in the right place, but God's word will expose that to me. And because he'll expose that to me, then I can say, better get him out of there. Amen. I thought on my ways and I turned myself unto thy statutes. Amen. But God's word will not only show me where I am, it'll also point and show me the path on which I ought to go. Amen. God's word is the key. It's the compass, if you will. Campers need a compass. Amen. And no doubt about that. Amen. You get lost. Amen. Without a compass. This book right here is our compass. What do I do? Amen. If you and I are ignorant of the word of God, we don't know what to do. Amen. You can never know God's will apart from God's word. Amen. It's so important. In fact, and it's so important. By the way, I think as the days get darker, we need this book more. Amen. I think of what the scripture says in 2 Peter 1:19, when Peter was talking about his wonderful experience on that Mount of Transfiguration, seeing the Lord transfigured, and then hearing the voice of God. And that was a wonderful experience. But Peter said this, even beyond all that, better than all of that, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We got a book right here. Better than an experience. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto it as a light that shineth in a dark place. We live in a dark world, don't we? And I'll be honest with you, and you know this, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's getting darker. As the days get darker, as this world decides and determines to go further and further away from the Lord, the further away from the Lord you get, the further away from the lighthouse you get, the further away from the light you get, the darker it gets. Amen. In fact, it seems the darker it gets, the better this world sees. Amen. But you and I can't afford that. We need a way. In this dark world, when the world is saying, do this, do that, and do the other thing, I need a light that says, no, here's the way. Walk ye in it. Amen? Amen. Ponder the path of your feet. By the way, I believe that's what services are all about. Opportunity to sit there, have the light shed on us, that we might ponder and think and consider where are we at. Why? Because I need to know where I'm at with the Lord. If I'm further than I should, I need to get closer maybe. Or I need to do this, that, and the other thing. Amen? Shedding the light, right? Haggai, don't turn there. Chapter number 1. In fact, Ezra chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this. Haggai and Zechariah came and preached to the people. And because of their preaching, the people got back to God's will. What happened was the children of Israel returned back to Israel, to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. Opposition came, as it always does, amen, to any work of God. But what happened was the people allowed the opposition to cause them to cease. And they say for about 16 years, the people stopped focusing on God's house, stopped working on restoring God's house. And what happens when you stop focusing on him? You focus on yourself. And so they started to focus on their own houses. And they started building their own houses. And then all of a sudden, they got away from God and the things of God. And they started to focus on themselves and the things of God. And you know what? They might have been ignorant after a while. God had to send his word through his prophets and preachers to say, look it, consider your ways. That's what Haggai 1 emphasizes. He's preaching, consider your ways. You're saying it's not time for God. It's not time for God. And yet you say it's time for us to build our own houses. Haggai and Zechariah, through the word of God, illuminated these people. God could convict them and deal with them. All of a sudden, they got back to the things of God and they built the house. Amen. So important. So important. Amen. Let me give you the third thought, and I got to move on. I'll probably cover one more, maybe. Listen, we need his word because the purification of our life depends upon us securing it. The direction of our life depends upon us securing it. And let me give you this thought. The consolation of our life depends upon us securing this book. See, what is consolation? That's a big word for comfort. Comfort. But I want to say this. Comfort. By the way, turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter number 15. Please, Romans chapter number 15. I'm saying we need to secure it. Listen, there are people who are not in the book. And by the way, the book's never getting into you if you ain't getting into it. And then all of a sudden, trials and troubles and tribulations come. And they want to try to get to the book. And sometimes they can try to get to that book, but I'll tell you what, between the trial and the trouble and the tribulation and you trying to get a hold of something, if you'd have got a hold of something when everything was going good, it would help you when everything's not going good. Amen? Look with me at Romans chapter number 15, verse number 4. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 4. I want you to look with me. I am sweating too much this morning. Amen. This is not right. I can't afford to lose all this weight. I know you got that joke, amen. look at Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. The Bible says this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime. By the way, people say, I don't read the Old Testament. I don't get any old. I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, if you're a New Testament Christian, you better read the Old Testament. Because New Testament Christianity is founded upon Old Testament scripture, amen? For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for what? Our learning, that we, through patience or endurance, and what? Comfort of the scriptures, might have what? What hope for the traveler whose strength's almost gone, that makes him determined to keep trotting on. If you don't know what that's from I Love the Old Bible. You ever sing that one here? Oh yeah, I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, light on my pathway to shine. It makes me so happy, always so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. Look it up sometime, brother. It's a great song. Amen. And as it goes on, it says about what book are you talking about when we sing? It's the same one the old time revivals did bring. It's the only one version authorized by a king. God's wonderful book, divine. Amen. But anyway, it's the comfort. Comfort, the word comfort in the Bible means more than it seems. The word comfort carries with it just different words. Words like hope, words like peace, words like joy, words like encouragement. These words are associated with this thought of comfort, amen? When the believers in Thessalonica said, the Lord's not back yet and we're losing our loved ones. What's going on? God said to Paul, I don't want them to be ignorant. Tell them what's going on and tell them, listen, comfort one another with these words. The fact is, we're not going before them. Don't worry about your loved ones. They're safe. Amen. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Amen. This I say unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. There's a hope. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. There's a peace that, in fact, there's a peace that he gives that can't be gotten by the world. There's a joy in this word, an encouragement. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm coming down. Bear with me. Psalm 119. See, I need it. I need it. Don't ignore the book on the mountaintop. Because when you get to the valley, you want to make sure you have it. Amen. Psalm 119. Sometimes people don't have the right word to say. But if you put the word in your heart, the Spirit of God will bring up or remind you of the right word you need at the right time. Amen. Psalm 119. I want you to look with me for a moment. Verse number 52. Psalm 119, verse number 52. Listen, the consolation of our life, the comfort, the hope, the courage, the strength, Everything I need to keep on keeping on is in the book, and it needs to be in my heart.
Amen.
Amen? Look at Psalm 119, verse number 52. Watch what he says. I remember thy judgments. In other words, I remember what God did. Thy judgments of old. I remember what God did, O Lord. And have what? Comforted myself. How do you comfort yourself? You remember what God did. One of the greatest reminders that God often gives to every one of us. He reminds us he's the God of creation. Why does he do that? Because if he can do that, he can do whatever. Amen? I want you to know something. I can't get into it, but let me give you a verse. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6. David and his men went to fight with the Philistines against Israel. Philistines said, no, get out of here. We can't trust you. They got back to Ziklag. And the Amalekites, I believe it was, had come and burned up their city, stole their wives and their children. These mighty men and David were weeping. And the men with David got so mad, they blamed the leader, they blamed David. In fact, they wanted to stone him. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, that the soul of David was so distressed and discouraged. But here's what it says. He comforted himself in the Lord his God. How can you keep on keeping on when you're going through what you're going through? God's word will comfort your heart. The writer to Hebrews was writing to a struggling people. These Hebrew believers got saved. When they got saved, they were excited. Then they realized they lost everything. They lost family, fortune. They lost everything. And they were tempted to quit and go back. And the writer to Hebrews is sending an exhortation. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. This is the answer. Keep on keeping on. He throws in Hebrews chapter 11 to say, look, God did it through them. They did it through God. And so can you. Remember what how God did it for Moses. Remember how he did it for Abraham. Remember how he did it for Noah. Remember, get all of these truths and may they encourage you to keep on. Keep it on. The purification of our lives depend upon us securing this book. The direction of our lives depends upon us securing this book. The consolation of our lives depends upon us securing this book. And I close with this and can't preach it. The protection of our lives depends upon this book. When the devil attacks like he did Jesus, it's the sword that's going to protect us. 1 John, don't turn there, 2:14. I written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. Put it together, folks. God's word in you gives you the strength to overcome the wicked one. Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren. And he lists the armor that we need to have on. I personally believe every part of that armor has something to do with the word of God. The loins girt about means having the word of God. Breastplate of righteousness to me is a matter of doing the word of God. The gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace with the sandals is sharing the word of God. And then the shield of faith and the helmet is the believing the word of God. And then the sword of the spirit is using the word of God. This is the key. I can't afford. I was thinking about these four things and I just started thinking almost about like a camping trip. I know our brother in the back goes camping and he was up there in the Smoky Mountains and thank God he was there before what happened, amen, with the fire. But if I go camping, I like to have soap. Just give me a bar of soap. Definitely want a flashlight. Amen. And a compass. Definitely want a compass. And I'd like to have a sword or some kind of knife. Amen. Folks, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're camping. We're camping. Amen. I cannot afford to be without this. God help us. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I pray you'll bless the upcoming service. Give the preacher the strength he needs, Lord, to share this truth on dispensation he's going to be preaching on this morning. Speak to our hearts. I prayed for this morning for me. Speak to me, Lord, in a special way. And bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.